and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In suburban Philadelphia, two police officers responding to a call of a child shot are themselves shot while approaching an East Lansdowne home that then went up in flames.
They are both doing okay. I just visited with their family, as we all did. They are being taken care of in great care here at the hospital. We expect them to be perfectly fine.
But Delaware County District Attorney Jack Stolzheimer also says several people may have been inside the house.
The family that lived in that house, we knew there were multiple family members. And we know that at least 6 to 8 people are unaccounted for, meaning we haven't had any contact with them.
Because of the fire, authorities won't be able to get inside until tomorrow. The search is on for 5 Marines who were aboard a military helicopter that went down in a mountainous area outside of San Diego. CBS's Jonathan Vigliotti reports.
Officials say the Marines' CH-53E helicopter took off from Creech Air Force Base near Las Vegas Tuesday evening, flying to Marine Corps Air Station in Miramar in California.
We got a call from the Marine Corps saying that they lost signal from one of their aircraft in the Pine Valley area.
Search teams launched 3 hours later when the aircraft was reported overdue and presumed to be missing.
A high-ranking commander of an Iran-backed militia has been killed in a U.S. drone strike in Baghdad. CBS's David Martin at the Pentagon.
The target was in charge of Kataib Hezbollah operations in Syria, just across the border from Jordan. And Pentagon officials had fingered Kataib Hezbollah as the most likely suspect.
As the footprints of Kataib Hezbollah, but not making a final assessment on that.
Retaliation for the Jordan attack began last Friday night with airstrikes against half a dozen locations in Iraq and Syria.
Attorney General Merrick Garland says Special Counsel Robert Hur's investigation of President Biden's handling of classified documents is finished. No details on the conclusions. Garland says he's committed to disclosing as much of it as possible once the White House completes a review for potential executive privilege concerns. In California, at least 9 deaths are blamed on powerful storms, which brought historic amounts of rainfall and triggered hundreds of mudslides in recent days. CBS's Carter Evans is in Los Angeles.
As L.A. finally starts to dry out, they're digging out from a massive amount of mud that has inundated the region. The numbers are remarkable. Since the beginning of the year, Los Angeles has recorded nearly twice the amount of rainfall as Seattle, more than 6 times what Miami has received, a foot of rain in LA, much of it just in the last 3 days.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You know, I hope this is the best hour of your life. I'll tell you that.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The universities of Wisconsin have a new website listing all online courses across the system's 13 campuses. The website lists more than 200 online programs and links to the campuses that offer the classes. The UW system is facing an $18 million deficit by this summer after years of declining enrollment and lower state aid. 4 2-year branch campuses are closing. President Biden and Donald Trump are dead even in the latest Marquette Law School poll. Trump's up slightly when you add in third-party candidates who took a sizable chunk of the votes.
I think it reflects the broad dissatisfaction with both Trump and Biden as the matchup. And so people unhappy with that are expressing it by saying at this point they'd vote third party.
Pollster Charles Franklin spoke with the Devil's Advocates radio show on Wednesday. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
More changes in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers have hired a new linebackers coach. Anthony Campanile spent the last 4 seasons with the Dolphins. Meanwhile, the Dolphins have named Joe Barry their new linebackers coach. College basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers in Ann Arbor to face the Michigan Wolverines. Then on Saturday, they're on the road against Rutgers. NBA, the Bucks losing in Phoenix 114-106. Giannis led the game with 34 points, but the Bucks were shorthanded due to injuries. Strange situation. The NBA named Doc Rivers the head coach of the Eastern Conference team with the upcoming All-Star game. game, even though Adrian Griffin was the head coach when the team had the second best record in the conference. Doc Rivers suggesting he give the check and ring to Griffin.
Well, Adrian's going to get some money, that's for sure, and a ring. Other than me, maybe I'll send my staff.
Shaq had this to say on TNT.
Like he said, it's one of those quirky things. Accidental. I like his response.
That's Shaquille O'Neal with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with rain developing late. Warm with lows in the low 40s and breezy. Showers around tomorrow, maybe some rumbles of thunder and staying breezy. Highs all the way to the mid-50s. Cooler for Friday and the weekend as high temperatures drop back into the 30s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
One, two, three, four.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to Nightlight, hour number two. Hump Day is almost officially over as far as Nightlight is concerned. Here is a text that we just got. This is our question tonight is, what is your favorite TV show or movie set in Wisconsin? You can text us on the app or text us at 844-967-2789. This is what I love about Nightlight listeners. This is Jim from Appleton. We had a debate with our last guest, John Bezak, about whether or not The Night Stalker was set in Milwaukee, Chicago, or Las Vegas. And Jim did the research. He says, I am watching a Night Stalker movie now on TV. Definitely Chicago. So whether or not you went to Tubi, Jim, and pulled up The Night Stalker, or you just happen to be watching it. Thank you for chiming in. I appreciate that. Okay, coming up at 9:30, syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm and I will talk therapists. Very important. You won't want to miss that. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome in Mike Clemens, who is going to give us a complete rundown of what is going on in Las Vegas at the Super Bowl. Hey, Mike.
How you doing, Pete? I'm sitting in a beautiful Denali. And we're in the parking structure of Mandalay Bay, famous resort here, which is sort of an NFL headquarters.
Yeah.
And I'm with five, six other people here, and we were just talking about your topic there. I would say Happy Days is one.
Yeah,
anybody else
mine.
Got any suggestions? What favorite show set in Wisconsin on TV?
Or movie.
Vernon Shirley says one.
Schatz Brewery.
At 70s show.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's a couple more you could add to the list, right?
Yeah, someone said the Blues Brothers, which was a great pull because they filmed a part of that here, too.
That's right. There was 794 that was going over the Summerfest grounds.
That's right.
And the idea is that they were going to run that all the way through a corridor north of the city, and it just sort of ran out of funding, and it sat that way for 20 years. And so somehow Belushi and Aykroyd found out about that, and they filmed that one scene where the Blues Brothers car was like going to nowhere. Didn't it go flying off the end of that thing in the movie?
Yeah, geographically, yeah. Mike, it makes sense. It goes flying off 794, or what was to be 794, and the car drops all the way down. You can almost follow it on the map back to Chicago. It's so bizarre, but it was such a great scene. So, so how are things? What's going on in Vegas, Mike? Any big news to report?
Traffic.
Oh,
we're
really?
We're stuck in it right now. By this time, I thought I would be in a spot, maybe even high atop Mandalay Bay, you know, the top floor of that, where I'd take a break here from a dinner we're going to go to. But, you know, it's I kind of thought years ago, if they ever could put a Super Bowl in Vegas, this city would be the best prepared for it because of all the conventions they do.
Yeah, right.
But I also there's such excitement because it's in Vegas. Like, think of all the destinations, New Orleans or Miami or Los Angeles or other the places they've had Super Bowls. Everybody wants to come to this one.
Yeah.
And it's packed.
I mean, it's packed, bumper to bumper. So here's what happened to me on Sunday. There's a guy that I used to work with in when I was have been covering the Packers. He now works for the NFL front office. And we kind of go through this cat and mouse game with him every year. Like, can you get me a free parking pass? So when we do our shows, you know, from the NFL Media Center, the Radio Row, you know, we can save time and frankly some money, maybe 40, 50 bucks a day or who knows, carrying the equipment she has to do to that show. And he's always like, yeah, listen, come on Sunday. You know, Monday I'll probably have it, you know, all these kinds of delays. Well, they're so busy. They're kind of understaffed. And so we were setting up the equipment for a Sunday for Monday morning show. And I said, listen, let me make use of my time here. Let me see if I can get that pass going now. And so someone said, oh, yeah, that's over at Caesar's Palace. So I take an Uber over there. And all of a sudden my driver says, uh-oh. And everybody starts blocking the streets. There's military guys. Biden is coming to town. So we're sitting in bumper-to-bumper traffic for like 20 minutes. He's explaining to me, you know why we would put fences? Since the last time you're in Vegas, we put these fences up along the curbs on Las Vegas Boulevard and in the boulevard. Is because they had so many pedestrians trying to cross the street, and the traffic got worse and faster. They were killing 4 or 5 pedestrians a month out here.
Whoa.
So they put up fences, and now they make folks take skywalks. And so you're literally trapped in traffic when, you know, the Air Force One crew come by and start shutting things down. He got to a corner. I got out. I walked. I went inside the hotel trying to find where these NFL offices were at Caesars. Then I decided, let's just get the hell out of here. Because once the limo gets here from the airport, you know, I could be stuck here for an hour or two. And I ended up walking about a mile to sort of get back where I could get a ride from our crew. You got the Chiefs coming here. You got the 49ers coming here. You got all these fans here. You got people that just want to come and be a part of it. And then, you know, the White House decides to land there.
Throw in a motorcade. Yeah.
Right. Oh, sure. Throw in a motorcade. Let's really jam that sucker.
Well, I heard the weather is bad there, too, this week, Mike. That's a bummer, especially for a guy from Wisconsin probably looking to catch some rays.
My brother lives in L.A., and he says, are you getting it yet? I go, what are you talking about? He said, we're getting a deluge here, man. Oh. And sure enough, for the first 2 or 3 days of, you know, the Super Bowl week, and this thing really does get going, like the Saturday or Sunday before, people set up. It's a huge convention. People set up, you know, broadcast sites and party sites and all kinds of things like that. So there's something going on literally every night of the week leading up to the game. And no, it was a heavy downpour for 2 or 3. It's finally, it started light up late this morning. We've got some clear skies, but it's cold here. I mean, you got to bring a jacket. We just picked up a couple of friends at the airport that flew in from Milwaukee, and it's like, man, it was warmer back in Wisconsin before we got on the plane.
Wow. So do you have a prediction, Mike, or where are the odds makers leaning? Like, there doesn't seem to be any huge injuries or anything. What's the odds telling you?
The odds makers have the 49ers with a slight lead.
Yeah.
Because they had a more consistent season. Seemingly, they have, you know, a few more weapons with George Kittle and Deebo Samuel. But the Chiefs have played really well defensively, in my book. The Chiefs, they had a kid named Jarius Sneed, a defensive back, that made a tremendous play against the Ravens in a tight ball game against the Ravens, 17-10. They were underdogs, I think, for that game as well in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And he was able to knock the ball out of Zay Flowers' hands, which should have been a touchdown right there at the goal line. And they're flying around. They're making plays like that on defense. So to me, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes have proved that they can come up with game plans or make in-game adjustments to beat tough teams, maybe teams that are even tougher than them, like last year's game against the Eagles by a touchdown or so. And Steve Spagnuolo, he has won Super Bowls with the Giants and now a couple times with the Chiefs. He comes up with really tough defensive game plans.
Yeah.
And so to me, the pressure is all on Brock Purdy, the 24-year-old, you know, Mr. Irrelevant, last guy in the draft, to now starting Sunday night in the Super Bowl. And the pressure is going to be on him. Now, I'm telling you, Pete, I spent an hour with him yesterday in a press conference in a lounge area of the team hotel in Henderson, south of the city.
Yeah.
And this is one of the most impressive human beings I've ever been around. Amazing. For a football player, for a 24-year-old quarterback, this kid is just, you can't rattle him.
Yeah, he seems to be unfazed, Mike. And that's what's so, like, if you're, I've never bet on sports, but like, everything you just said makes sense. You have all the weapons the 49ers have. How do you possibly keep them in check? Well, you got Steve Spagnuolo. You also have Patrick Mahomes, maybe one of the great, certainly one of the greatest of all time. I wouldn't even know where to bet, or if I had to pick, like, who I would choose.
You know, and in that game against the Packers, I mean, the Packers had the lead, and you know, he almost threw a pick, and then he kind of was like a turtle that went into his shell for a couple of quarters there. But you know what? With the game on the line, he just said, what the hell? And just started throwing darts, moving the ball down the field. And, you know, with 5 minutes, the Packers were leading that game, had a chance to win it with about 5 minutes left. And he just came back and led those scoring drives and taking advantage of turnovers and whatnot and got them to the next level. So, I say, to me, the pressure will really be on Brock Purdy. If he can hold it together for four quarters and there's going to be weird things that happen in a Super Bowl. There always is something on special teams, an interception or whatever. Remember, Nick Bolton was able to scoop and score, you know, on Jalen Hurts last year. And that ended up being the difference, really, in a game that was, you know, in the 30s. That's the thing that I think will be the deciding factor, is how Purdy is able to hold up for four quarters in the big game.
He's done it so far. Hey, Mike, Conrad has a question for you.
Yeah, so I was just bringing it back to Wisconsin. The Badgers just lost the third game in a row. I just want to know your opinion on that going forward with the Badgers.
Oh, wow. What was the final score?
I believe it was 72 to like 68 against Michigan.
Wow. Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little surprised by that. I know they were in Ann Arbor for that one, so they're on the road. Yeah, I don't know. You know, it seems like the Badgers are kind of like Nebraska. They're 50-50 when they're on the road lately. same as the Bucks as well. I'm a little surprised by that, because just the way that they've come out of these last couple of games, I would have thought that they would have been able to play their game and beat the Wolverines tonight. But, yeah, I'm going to have to take a look at that one.
Mike, are you a fan of the film Blazing Saddles?
Yeah, I haven't seen it in 30 years, but sure.
It's so hard to pick a clip from Blazing Saddles. This is the anniversary of when the film hit theaters, and it's so politically incorrect. Now, I couldn't even find anything. It's crazy.
Sure. There was that. And then, of course, you know, the Zucker brothers and Kentucky Fried Movie.
Kentucky Fried
Remember that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Before they went before they came out with the masterpiece.
Yeah. Well, did we lose Mike? Are you still there, Mike? No, we might have lost Mike. Maybe went into a parking garage. Mike, you're welcome to call back. If not, stay safe. Stay warm and dry out there, and enjoy your time in Vegas. What happens stays there.
Can you hear me now, Pete?
Oh, yeah, I got you. I was just about to let you go. Do you want to hang for a sec, or you got to run? All right, we'll try to get Mike back. This is coming up next, hopefully more of Mike Clemens. But if not, we'll think of something. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
City, off from my home. We're flying up no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it. Moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it. So don't stop.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
The story of Black History Month starts in Chicago. It's 1915, and thousands are there to celebrate 50 years since the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of slavery. The gathering also inspires civic organizations to uncover the many achievements of Black citizens. By 1926, the celebration of African American history is official. This also is a time for rising racial pride. The Black middle class is expanding, and industrial cities like Milwaukee are luring African Americans with good jobs. There's so much more to tell you. Listen for the next Black History Month story here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Stick around if you're in the Madison area after this show for Mad Unity. Great show, and they are debuting a new song from Chicago DJ legend DJ Colette that will be on tonight after Nightlight if you are in the Madison area on WMDX. So, all right, so that was interesting. Did Mike answer your question, Conrad, okay?
Yeah, it's tough to say anything right away after a loss because it just happened a little bit ago, but
right, we yeah, just gotta, probably didn't even know.
Yeah, it's just they just got to get in a better mindset going forward, especially
sure.
they went from the earlier this past week they were ranked number 6th, then they lost to Nebraska and then to Purdue today, earlier this week ranked 11, then they just lost again to an unranked team, so they might be in the 20s next week, but
yeah. Is we really didn't get a prediction from Mike. Do you have a prediction, Conrad? What are you thinking?
Oh, for the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Well, I think I just got to go with the Chiefs just because I am a Packer fan, so I don't want the 49ers to win.
How petty of you. Got another text from Papa Rico. Groove Tube, another old favorite. Hey, what can I tell you, Papa Rico? We bring all the great hits. Okay, so as I mentioned, this is the anniversary. In 1974, the movie Blazing Saddles was released. And like I said before, it was so hard to pick a clip because everything is politically incorrect in this movie. And it's so funny. And it makes me sad I can't play more of the movie, but I'm certainly not going to risk it. But I did find a clip. This is a great clip between Gene Wilder and Cleavon Little, both of whom are gone now. They've both passed away. But Gene Wilder is the Waco kid, and Cleavon Little is the African-American sheriff in this town where no one wants an African-American sheriff. And the way his character deals with it throughout the movie is so funny. But this is a great scene between Cleavon Little and Gene Wilder. Gene Wilder was locked up in the jail, and the sheriff let him out, and they're having a conversation.
I don't know if you ever heard of me before, but I used to be called the Waco Kid.
The Waco Kid. He had the fastest hands in the West.
In the world.
Well, if you're the kid, then show me something.
Oh, well, maybe a couple of years ago I could have shown you something, but today, look at that.
Steady as a rock.
Yeah, but I shoot with this hand.
See, I knew you wasn't no Waco kid. You was just pulling my lariat.
Oh, dearie, dear. Well, okay. See that king?
Yeah.
Put your hands on both sides of it. Now, when I say go, you try to grab it first.
Man, that's no contest. You're a mile away.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, when you hear the word go, you just try to grab it. Ready?
Ready.
Go.
Hey.
You looking for this?
Well, raise my rent.
That's Gene Wilder and Cleavon Little, and one of the few clips I could actually play on the radio because times have changed so much. But a great movie, great actors, great scene. And we played this before coming out of the break with Mike Clemens. I want to play it again. I want to set this up this time. This is the great closing number from Blazing Saddles. Dom DeLuise is on one soundstage coaching a dance number. And this is Mel Brooks totally breaking the fourth wall as his Western parody crashes through during filming into Dom DeLuise's set and the chaos that ensues.
Throw out your hands, take out your tush, hands on your hips, give them a push. You'll be surprised you're doing the French mistake. Voila!
All right, cut! Wrong! Okay, just watch me. It's so simple, you sissy Marys. Give me the playback and watch me.
Throw out your hands.
Have you got it?
Yes.
Action! Playback!
This will be in your head forever.
Throw out your hands, stick out your tush, hands on your hips, give them a push.
What in the hell do you think you're doing here? This is a closed set.
Piss on you. I'm working for Mel Brooks.
Not in the face. Thank you.
That's Slim Pickens and Dom DeLuise in a classic scene. That song will be in your head for a week, Conrad. So you will have me to thank for that. And I think that should be our song from now on, coming in and out of every break.
Every single one.
So catchy. That's right. And and coming up in just a couple minutes, folks, syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm will be here. We're going to talk therapy and some of his really cool articles that you need to check out. I will give you that address where you can find those when Greg is here, but he will be along shortly. And are you still manning the text line, Conrad?
Yeah.
You have not slacked off, correct?
I never slack off.
I know. You're a go-getter. So we have one more clip here, too, because That 70s Show was set in Wisconsin, and that is our question tonight. What is your favorite movie or TV show set in Wisconsin? We've got mostly Happy Days, I would say, but there's been some reaches. We heard Laverne and Shirley, Happy Days, That 70s Show. It was John Bezek, actually, thought Kolchak, The Night Stalker, was set in Milwaukee, but it was just that one episode, The Blues Brothers, Dillinger, and Making of a Murderer. So here is a clip from a show set in Wisconsin on Ashton Kutcher's birthday. We couldn't think of any better way to celebrate the young man's birthday. So play that clip, Conrad.
Look, a robot!
Man, you fall for that every time.
Yeah?
Well, one day, there's gonna be a robot. And all you suckers are gonna miss it.
I don't like that kind of language. I'll be honest with you. Couldn't we bleep over sucker? Can we say sucker?
Yeah.
Okay. Because if you're fishing and you catch a sucker, that's like, it's like saying Schitt's Creek, right? The TV show. It's an actual title. Okay. So this has been fun. John Bezek was great. His movie is playing in Door County next weekend. It is selling out quickly, but he said there's like 30% seats left at the Northern Sky Theater. Mike Clemens checked in from Vegas, and coming up next, syndicated columnist Greg Schwemm and a fellow comedian. Well, I'm a former comedian. He's still funny. He'll be along shortly. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I wish every day the sun would shine. Take me to another place in my life. Where everything. No sun, we could rule our soul.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, the Chippewa Valley's home for the Devil's Advocates radio
show. CBS News Brief. Two police officers are shot approaching a house in East Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. They'll recover, but the house went up in flames. District Attorney Jack Stolstein.
The sad news is there may be more people inside the house who perished, but we won't know again until at the earliest sometime tomorrow.
Rescue crews are searching for five Marines who were on board a military helicopter that went down in a mountainous area outside San Diego. CBS's Jonathan Viglione.
You had a lot of rain, a lot of snow, and a lot of mud, and we're told that mud has made things very difficult, even for those 4x4s, which are trying to get to the scene.
In a retaliatory drone strike in Baghdad, the U.S. military says it has killed a commander from the Iran-backed Kataib Hezbollah militia. CBS's David Martin.
The drone operator is basically given the clearance to take the shot when he can take it. So all day, somebody has been tracking this commander as he moved about Baghdad.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wildfires could be a problem in Wisconsin this spring. The Department of Natural Resources says warm weather and a lack of snow will likely make conditions dry this spring. The DNR says Wisconsin has already had one small wildfire. It was Saturday in Fairchild near Eau Claire. New farmers trying to get their operations started in Wisconsin are learning about leasing land. Kelly Wilfert is a farm management outreach specialist with the University of Wisconsin Extension.
Land is very expensive when you're competing against farmers who have assets already built up that they can leverage in order to afford that land.
She says leasing land allows new farmers to invest money in equipment. About a third of all farmland in Wisconsin is leased. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Matt Nair on air.
I heard that new promo featuring Earl and Sandy Williams talking about being influencers. Now I cannot get the vision out of my head of those two doing TikToks.
I think we should do a series of videos of Calvin teaching them how to be influencers, like teaching them how to dance.
I'm not going to say I don't dance, but I'm not a good dancer, so I don't know.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on 93.5 The Tap and on the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight with rain developing late, warm with lows in the low 40s and breezy. Showers around tomorrow, maybe some rumbles of thunder and staying breezy. Highs all the way to the mid-50s. Cooler for Friday and the weekend as high temperatures drop back into the 30s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matt and Air on Air with Jane Matt and Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. It's fully leaded education talk. Busted Pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 7 on the Talk of Eau Claire, 93.5 The Tap, and on the Civic Media app. 93.5 The Tap.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Is it Saturday night yet? Hey folks, Jimmy K here. Join me, Rocker, and Terry Barr for Max Inc. Saturday Night. It's your weekly look at the Wisconsin music scene with a lot of fun, debut music, interviews with the artist, and live in the lair. It's Max Inc. on Saturday night across the Civic Media Radio Network, Saturday night, 6 to 10 p.m., and grab the podcast at maxincradio.com. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to the Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
We got another text here. Good text, that Conrad is putting these through at an alarming rate tonight. I'm very impressed. Our question tonight, what is your favorite TV show or movie set in Wisconsin? And you can text us on the app or at 844-967-2789. This is Jim from Appleton. Says, I can see the great Dom DeLuise doing the French mistake just from the music. That's the beauty of that music. Also, Papa Rico says, Pete, maybe you can help me. There was an old movie in which Dom and Burt Reynolds star in, and Dom's character throughout the movie is trying to keep Burt's character from killing himself. I believe that's a movie called The End. You know what? Let's bring in a really funny guy to help us with this question. My next guest happens to be on the line. Greg Schwemm, syndicated columnist. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Pete, how are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for taking time out tonight.
Yeah, and I have no idea what the answer to that question is.
I think it's The End, because I remember at the end of the movie, Burt Reynolds is like in the ocean and he's like 10 miles from shore or something like that. And he's talking to God as he swims back and he says, God, if you let me live, I will dedicate the rest of my life to living well. And as he gets closer, I promise God, I will the rest of my life will be in service to you. And as he gets closer and realizes he's going to make it, he says, God, I promise the next week I will live for you. It's a great ending to a movie called The End. So I think that's the answer. But how are you, Greg?
I am great. How are you?
Doing very well. Do you have a favorite movie or TV show set? I know you're down there in the suburbs of Wisconsin, the Chicago area, but do you have a favorite movie or TV show?
Just a bus ride away.
Yeah.
From the metropolis of where you are. Yes. So you were asking a favorite movie or TV show set in Wisconsin?
Yeah. If you have one on the tip of your tongue.
You know what? I I've got to go with the obvious one. I was a Happy Days guy growing up, so never missed it. But you brought up, if you're going cable, I think Making a Murderer. I was totally hooked. That was like my first show that I think I actually binge watched.
Wow, really?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I didn't really even know what that phrase was. And then I was at a New Year's Eve party, I think, and somebody said, you got to watch this show. And it was like a really bad snowstorm. Yeah. And I think I watched the whole thing in a day and a half. and then the next time I went to Wisconsin, I looked at everybody differently.
It's so funny you say that. This drove me crazy because I watched the show too, and I think I heard people on Facebook talking about it. And my wife and I were in Door County, and we were checking out, and a couple from Chicago was checking in. I'm a native Chicago, and I lived there through junior high, you know. But I cannot stand when people are so provincial. And this couple from Chicago, the woman was asking the desk attendant at the hotel. She said, "We watched Making of a Murderer. What is going on there? Are people there just different?" I'm like, yes, you idiot. They're all serial killers. I mean, what kind of a question is that?
Right.
But yeah, no. I did watch it, and that was one of our answers before, too. And I have to tell you, I thought this was funny. A friend of mine from New York watched it, and he said, Schwabba, I got to tell you, your accents in Wisconsin are so thick. He had to put on subtitles. They're speaking English. And I was like, oh, wow, really? I didn't realize that. But that's funny. What were your conclusions from that, Greg?
I think the guy was innocent. I can't believe the guy is still, he's still behind bars.
It just, and I don't remember now, but I remember thinking, and I remember I thought the family didn't want it reopened or whatever, but I'm with you. And I don't know why, because it's been so long since I've watched it, but I remember thinking, this guy could not have done this.
No. But I'm starting to think that maybe this guy just likes being in prison. You know, I mean, they're, you know, he's one of those, what do they call him? He's not a lifer. What was Morgan Freeman? Institutionalized. That's what Morgan Freeman was in Shawshank. I don't think I could make it on the outside, Andy.
You think he's pulling a Clint Eastwood and sneaking a spoon back to his cell every so often?
Could be doing that. Yeah. You never know.
Pulling an Andy Dufresne. Hey, you wrote a great article recently, Greg. I love reading your stuff, and it was about finding a therapist. The article was titled "I Don't Need a Good Therapist, Just an Available One." Is it that hard to find a therapist?
It is. I've decided for a myriad of issues, it's time for me to maybe check out this therapy thing. COVID. Made therapist the number one occupation, I think, in the world because everybody sought help for one reason or another. All therapists, I did not think it was going to be that big of a deal. But the funny part was, and I allude to this in the article, is that when you get on their websites, they sort of lull you into this false sense of security that you're going to get help because they're like, well, you know, tell us about your, they've all got the online form, you know, tell us why you're seeking therapy and, you know, please be specific and so forth. And then you write that out and then you send it and then you get a response that says, sorry, I'm booked. I'm not taking it. You're like, wait a minute. What was the point of what I just did? That is exactly why I probably need therapy right there.
Because
I'm too trusting, Pete.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And you're not helping.
Well, that's why I wanted to have you on the show, Greg. You can't find a therapist. Come on the air, vent, tell us your problems.
Just talk about our problems together, right?
I'll be like a bartender. I do remember I looked into a therapist years ago and it was a 4-month wait. I'm like, well, unreal. I can either wait out my problem here.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever it is. But I'm like, come on. This is like, and you're right. I think in your article, you allude to the fact that people should drop whatever they're doing if they're in college and study psychiatry because there's got to be a demand.
Exactly. But you're going to spend most of your time fielding emails from people and saying, I'm sorry, I'm booked. So.
Yeah. I feel your pain.
But here's when I realized everybody was in therapy. There's a great book out there. Called Maybe You Should Talk to Somebody. And it's by an LA based therapist named Lori Gottlieb. And she has a very interesting story. She was on her way. She started as like a showrunner out in LA. And she worked when Must See TV was on NBC and it was like Seinfeld. Okay. So she worked on, she said in her book, she goes, I was in the room when Jennifer Aniston auditioned for Friends. I mean, that's how high she'd made it. And she was very young. And anyway, she just decided she didn't want to do that. And she went back to school and she got a degree in psychiatry or so forth. But so she was a therapist and she had some pretty well-known clients, which she kind of alludes to that. But she ends up in therapy. So this is a therapist ending up in therapy because she had a really bad breakup with her boyfriend. And it's a great book because it bounces back and forth between her role as a therapist and then what it's like when she's on the other side of the couch, I guess you would say. I learned a lot from the book, but I still decided I need a therapist.
That's hilarious. It reminds me of the old Seinfeld joke. Like why do therapists book the whole hour, but you're only in there 50 minutes. Do they spend the next 10 minutes going, boy, that guy was crazy. Right. Like that's exactly. Just commenting. Right. So
yeah,
why
my hand is cramping from taking notes. Need 10 minutes.
Why do you think, like, what did we do? Like, obviously 40 years ago, there were even less therapists.
Yeah.
And I'm all for evolving. I know it's good. Mental health is so important. I've seen therapists. I said plural. What did we do back then? Are we better off now being frustrated like you are that you can't see one? Or I mean, what the heck did we do back then? Or did our parents just drink or what?
No, you know what? I think everything... all the world's problems go back to social media.
That's really a great point. Yeah.
I believe that to be the case. I think that we have, and I mean, I'm a comedian, but I'm kind of talking seriously here,
yeah.
Is that I just think that we've kind of put ourselves in this position where if people don't agree with us, we don't know how to handle that.
Right.
And because we allow ourselves to be put into a situation where everybody can agree with us via social media. You know, we don't like somebody's other views, we block them, we unfriend them. We don't want to deal with our problems face to face. We don't want to meet with our adversary or somebody who doesn't think like we do and say, let's work it out together, which is what we had to do prior to social media. So now we're in this bubble where everybody agrees with us, and then we find somebody who doesn't, and we just don't know how to handle that. And I think that's why you see so many couples in therapy. That's why I see so many kids who, you know, are being bullied or so forth in school, and they run to therapy because they just don't know how to how handle the problems by themselves. I will probably get an argument from pretty much every therapist in the world, but I do believe that. And you know, that's partly, without going into too much detail, I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that I'm going to be ending up seeing a therapist.
That's so funny. My guest is Greg Schwemm. He is a syndicated columnist for Tribune. Greg, help me out. Where can people find your stuff?
Tribune, I know it's Content Agency. If you go to tribunecontentagency.com, you can find all of my stuff. Okay. So the column is called Humor Hotel. That's what I've been writing.
Love that,
yeah. So what, and Tribune Content Agency is the syndicated arm of the Tribune Company.
And look for Greg's stuff. It's so funny. Like, I love, like, what you bring as a columnist is decades of stand-up comedy to your own intellect and life experiences. And I don't know, I'm not saying there aren't other columnists out there, but I think that's what kind of sets you apart and makes your stuff so fascinating. What is the difference, Greg, when you come up with a good idea, how do you disseminate, like, oh, this is a joke, no, this is a column? Or do you just try to do both? How does that work?
Yeah, well, you know, everything that I, being a full-time stand-up comedian, which I have been for 33 years.
Wow.
I mean, you know, you spend your whole day observing and thinking, okay, what else can I put into my act? And I feel like when I write columns, I'm basically sort of spitballing material. I'm writing it out and then figuring out, okay, can I condense this and can I talk about this on stage? And I also, a lot of my columns, I will post on social media and I'll see what kind of a reaction I get. If I get a lot of likes or a lot of comments, then I think, okay, this is a topic that people can relate to. And comedians, that's what we're always looking for. We're always looking to talk about things on stage that the majority of the audience that resonates with them. So I would say my columns are kind of my way of writing material for what will hopefully eventually end up in my stand-up act.
That's a great answer. I'll tell you what, I agree with you on the social media thing. I think the one thing we don't want, and maybe I'm way off here, but like my wife is a kindergarten teacher, and sometimes, you know, there's a shortage of teachers, so they emergency credential them. I don't think we want psychologists emergency credential, like walking in like, hey, didn't you serve me a coffee at Starbucks the other day? What is this? You know? But I do, what I want to ask you, and maybe we'll get to this in a minute, but you had another column too, I think was great, about the word Riz. And I was just informed, somebody just told me what Riz means. It was my son, actually. He saw it in a post. And I said, what the heck is that? And he explained it to me. And this is how I know I'm either not very bright or I can't figure out what is going on. Even after he explained it to me, I'm still kind of like, what? So I needed to read your article at Humor Hotel because you explained it to me like as a guy my age. And then I got it. And I'm going to ask Greg that coming up next, what Riz means. And if you don't know, if my listeners don't know what Riz means, you're going to want to know, because you're going to want to use this word tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yes.
I'm talking with Greg Schwemm, who's generous with his time tonight. He's a syndicated columnist for Tribune, and his column is called Humor Hotel. So check it out. I'll be right back with more Greg Schwemm coming up next. I ask him what Riz means. It's Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up all night to get some. She's up all night for good. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
It's Black History Month, and Civic Media supports the importance of this observance. But what do you really know about it? I'm Calvin Butenhoff, producer of The Earl Ingram Show. Our Echoes of Empowerment Black History Stories will offer thoughtful answers all month long. Now, here's Earl.
You cannot talk about Black history without including some of the early music and art which flourished in the 1920s and 30s, time now called the Harlem Renaissance. But this new Black cultural identity was growing everywhere. Trumpet player Louis Armstrong moved to Chicago. Painter Henry Tanner was accepted into the Academy of Design. Musician Robert Johnson recorded the Delta Blues in Texas. Listen for another Black History story right here on Civic Media. I'm Earl Ingram.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. Conrad has been busy fielding texts all day. We've gotten some great texts. Here's one again from Papa Rico. Nightlight is my therapy after a long day of civic media. It helps me unwind by laughing. Yeah, we don't. Politics will do that to you, Papa Rico, no matter which side of the aisle you're on there. And I'm thank you for the text. That's nice. From the 715, Godfather of Green Bay. Okay, that is set in Wisconsin. Thank you. And another, Godfather of Green Bay, the best movie about comedians, a great romantic comedy. Lauren Holly was never better. There was another actor in that movie called Pete Schwabba. I didn't get a mention. That's okay. Thank you very much for those. And also from the 715, the beginning of Tommy Boy. Yeah, right. Okay. Wow, great text, everybody, as usual. So my guest right now is Greg Schwemm. He is a syndicated columnist and a comedian. You can find his stuff at TribuneContentAgency.com. His column is called Humor Hotel. So, Greg, here's what puts me in therapy, or what is about to send me to therapy, is when I get one more person working at a counter asking me for a tip. Not just that. That's irritating, because I think the owner of Starbucks has enough to pay his workers $2 more an hour. But it's when I complain about it and I get that person that's like, what's your problem? Like, that drives me crazy. Like, so kind of to your point, when people don't agree with you, or, you know, we are experiencing higher than normal call volumes, but your call is very important to us, then why every time do I call, you say that? You obviously don't care about my call. And when you complain about it, you're that guy. So I don't know.
And make sure you listen carefully, because our menu options have changed. Whose menu options have not changed? Who's changing the menu options?
Have that guy take my call.
A limited number of buttons on the phone. You know, how much can you change them?
Exactly. So you know what I'm saying. I'm glad you're here tonight. Okay, so we before the break, we talked about Riz.
Yes.
For the listeners, I'm sure you can describe this better than me. And the column is called Greg Schwemm, Get Ready World, a new Rizful me is headed your way. Love the title of the column. What is Riz, Greg?
Okay, so Riz, first of all, it is the Oxford University Word of the Year. And I always look forward to that. So somehow Oxford University Press, it's called, comes out with a word every year at the end of December that they think, you know, made an impact on society. And sometimes the words, you know, you use it like podcast was the word of the year a few years ago. Sudoku was the word of the year, but this year it was Riz. And I was like, well, what the heck is that? And what Riz is, it is defined as the ability to attract a romantic or a sexual partner. So if you have a lot of Riz going, you are you're a hottie if you're a guy, you know, and if you're lacking in Riz, you're not getting laid very much, apparently.
So it just applies to men, the Riz?
No, not necessarily. Okay. But it was the apparently there was I can't remember the name of his name, but there was a movie star who used the word in an interview. And everybody's like, what was that? And then all of a sudden the word was kind of attributed to him. I think he was somebody who's affiliated with some of the Marvel movies or something. And all of a sudden, so I think it's more attributed to guys just because this celebrity kind of coined it and put it into the mainstream.
Wow. So we don't know really where the word Riz comes from. I
know.
It kind of reminds me of really. Another word I don't think I can say on the air, but
yeah, I know what you're talking
about. Rizzo from Greece. You know, I mean, she had some chutzpah, I would say, but that's interesting. So you write about in a couple of your columns, you mentioned that you're going through a divorce, and not to make light of that, but does that give you material for, and you're writing about Riz. So obviously,
yes, exactly.
You're trying to get back out there, but has that provided you material in a somber kind of way?
It is interesting though. I had this, you know, who Pat McGann is, very successful Chicago comic. And he and I were talking about, you know, what to say on stage and so forth. And I mentioned that I was getting divorced, and he said, you know, are you talking about that on stage? And the interesting thing about that topic, we talked earlier about how comedians are always looking for topics that resonate with a majority of the audience. And depending on what statistics you want to use, 50% of marriages, and some would say higher, end in divorce. So if you think about that, you think, okay, well, if I talk about divorce on stage, at least half of the audience is going to be able to relate to this. So that's a good topic. However, I have found, I think that you have to be very careful how you couch material about a sensitive subject like that, because I think if you're a guy, if you come off as angry about your divorce, I think the audience will immediately side with your spouse. You're the bad guy. And I think if you come off as whiny about it, like, woe is me, the audience is going to be like, that's really not what we came to hear tonight. It's like, that's what your therapist is for. you're trying to mix metaphors here. I know I will talk about it, and I know that eventually there will be material about it in there, but I think right now it's just kind of a tricky subject.
Yeah.
But I do think people, again, because so many people have been through it, they are inclined to laugh at the topic, because I think a lot of them see themselves in what you're talking about on stage.
It's so funny how they would make that leap too, because they really don't know you, the comedian, and you could be crazy town. Your wife could be crazy town, and they just don't even, but they're still going to judge, you know.
Greg, yes, exactly.
This is great. We got to do this more often. Keep these articles coming. They're so great. Again, it's TribuneContentAgency.com. The column is called Humor Hotel. Greg Schwem.
I will even give you, if we've got 2 seconds, I will give you a preview of what my next one is about.
Oh, please. Yeah.
It's Flip February. Do you know what that is?
No.
Flip February. It's where people are giving up their iPhones and going back to flip phones. And this is like the month that you experiment with just getting rid of everything that's on your iPhone and going back to the phones, where all you could do on it was make a phone call. And if you wanted to text, you know, you had to hit to make the H, you had to tap it 3 times, and then you slap the phone and flipped it shut. So Flip February is going to be my next column.
All right, check that column out. Thanks so much, Greg. And that's the perfect thing after dry January. Thanks so much, Greg Schwem. Have a great night. I'd like to thank all my guests, John Bezek, Mike Clemens, Greg Schwem. Thanks for all your texts. If you're in the Madison area, stick around for Mad Unity with Jorge Reyna. They're playing Chicago legend DJ Colette tonight is on the show. Tomorrow, Matt Miller and Eric Rasek in studio. Thanks so much, folks. Great spending Wednesday night with you. Good night, Wisconsin.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It's 2024. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you live across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Jane Matt Nair.
And I'm Greg Bach.
Join us Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon as we break down the news and share some laughs along the way.
We're talking to politicians, we're talking to community leaders, and we're talking to anyone who has a story.
And we occasionally get a visit from an umbrella cockatoo. Join us for Matt Nair on Air Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.